So let's start with a little introduction. We'll sort of recap what we did last time. And we were covering this chapter, which is chapter 6, or in the Hebrew version, it's chapter 7, and it starts on page 22, in the original Bikashta Misham. And I think we got up to page 23 last time. So that you have on the pages from last time. And we spoke about the schism that pulls man apart, in which man vacillates from what we call the natural religious consciousness, in which man yearns for God, and on the other extreme, the revelational consciousness. They both form the sum total of the religious experience, of religious consciousness. And these two extremes, these two forms of experiencing God, are parallel to two different midos. Midas ha-chesed and midas ha-din. Mercy and justice. Mercy means that man yearns for God. He seeks out God. He wants to break out of the difficult straits that he finds himself in the natural universe. And he aspires to reach the God of mercy. He seeks God because God is a merciful father who embraces his son. He showers love on his son and affection on his son. This is the God that man is longing for, to redeem himself from a material world in which he feels that death is haunting him. The created world seems to be indifferent to him. He lives in a world which is full of all sorts of negative things. You know, the Rav gets very dramatic here. He speaks about hatred. He speaks about all sorts of blockages that frustrate man's aspirations and his initiatives. And if you recall, he describes the relationship between joy and grief, disappointment, fulfillment, and in every case, man is overwhelmed by dread, and therefore he yearns to break out of this scenario, out of this limiting material world, and he longs for Hashem. Hashem, in this case, is the shepherd, right? Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem ro'i lo echsar, gam ki elech begeitz ha'moves. So that was the attribute of mercy that we discussed last time. Now we'll discuss Midas HaDin, and this you should have on page 23, which we gave out last time. It's in the middle of the page. You have 24? Okay, so it'll carry over to 24. The Rav says the following. Elokim mofila adam kimelech hamishpat. Here God appears to man as the king of justice. Nogava ayom. The Rav is already setting the tone here. It's a terrifying, demanding God. Who, God, is an esh ochla, a consuming fire. Din vionesh, strict justice and punishment. These are the flames that emanate from God at the level of Din. Emet Chotamo, his seal is the seal of truth. Tzedek Midato, and justice is his attribute. Doreshu min Adam Hakravat Smit, he demands of man self-sacrifice. Hishtabdut Mukhletet, total, absolute subjugation. Gishum Mitzvot, to implement all the commands of God. Ha'adam ha-mitkarev l'alokim, if man comes too close to God, yuvab mishpat, he will be scrutinized under the judging eyes of God. Al rashlanut ve'izrizut, because he's laid back, he doesn't fulfill the command of God as he should with zrizut. Al chayim b'leim mered v'sichlut, because of his life that's filled with rebellion
and idiosyncrasy. Woe is it to man who is found guilty in judgment. God will attach guilt even to man who is made of clay, even to mortal man. B'matzav zeh, at this level, k'shadam pogeh b'midat ha-din, pachad noga tokef oto, hu mityaesh v'chotzeh l'vroach. Man thinks the only escape from judgment is to run away, to become a fugitive. He's absolutely at the point of despair. He realizes that the judgment will be harsh against him. Choshevu, k'mo shechashav Adam HaRishon, just as Adam thought in the Garden of Eden after his sin, ki kiyumo karuch bebrichato me'et melech hamishpat. The only way he can survive is if he can run away from the King of Judgment. Lo beritzai lav. At this level, in contrast to midat harachamim, man is not running like the deer, you know, who runs to the brook to drink from the deer. Man is not running towards God. On the contrary, he's running away from God. Ki mi yitztak lefanav bedin. I think the Rav is here paraphrasing the Unasana Tokef of the Yimei Adin. Pachad zeh hagorem l'nesigat charada. This overwhelming fear that brings man to run away. Hu charadat hachidalon agamur. Man is afraid of total annihilation. Helokim hu atoveya. God is the judge who condemns man. He's what you call the kategor. How do you say kategor in English?
Prosecutor.
The prosecutor. V'ech yuchal adam lofia kinitba. God is, in a sense, the plaintiff, and man is the defendant. How could man defend himself? Ein reshut l'nitba rafeo nim. Man is helpless, and he has no permission. L'amod lifnei tovea shagi koach. To stand in front of a plaintiff who's accusing him, a mighty plaintiff, Rav Onim, a powerful person, a powerful being. Ne'ratz, he's respected, v'noga, and he's awesome, al kol svivotav. Regesh ha-pachad mipnei Elokim nimtza, k'mo ha-riga ilav, b'rshut chiyunit tiv'it. This feeling of fear in the face of God, just as we said, yearning for God, belongs to the realm of natural man. Hu mushrash b'tkuva instinctivit. It's an instinctive response, shel bal chai, of any creature, man or animal, lehitpartzut koach chisul, to the breaking out of a power that might eliminate him, Iyum, a threat, hamasakenet kiyumo, which threatens his very existence. V'yodapam, hachereg hu yitziri, yitziri tiv'i, it comes from man's natural inclination. B'sha'ash miluy hachereg hu ruchani, but from this fear, man fulfills himself as a spiritual being. Adam teva, natural man, dachuf behalachiyunit, who's driven into an animal-like panic, borech min Elokim, but al yidei abricha, by running away from God and reflecting the fear of Almighty God, hofech l'adam ruchani, he turns himself to a spiritual being. So if on the first level of man in search of the compassionate God who loves him and embraces man like a father, like a loving father, at midat harachmim, man becomes spiritual, expresses his spirituality in the search for God. Here, instead of the love for God that gravitationally pulls man to God, there's the opposite, there's the fear of God, fear of the God of judgment, but that too is a spiritual expression of the nature of man. Oved hu Elokim b'brichazu. Man paradoxically serves God by running away from God. Al yidei chavayat ha-pachad ha-nora. Mitoch ha-pachad, nechsefet ha-kara ha-giluyit. From this fear, the the religious experience of fear of God is an exposure or revelation that penetrates or reflects an awareness of revelational consciousness. And man now decides he's got to subjugate himself to fulfill God's will. And here the Rav quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi in the second chapter, Ki yom l'Hashem tzvakot al kol ge'er v'ram v'al kol misav v'shafel. God is described by the Navi as the Lord of hosts who reduces the stature of those who are all full of themselves, who are ge'er ram. Shach gavhut adam, he bends the haughtiness of man. V'shafel rum anashim. V'nisgav Hashem levado bayom. You remember that song? V'nisgav Hashem. Right, because God is the only one who's left as Niskav. Everyone else is being humbled in front of man. Adam borech meit Elokim. And here the Rav quotes another pasuk in Tanakh. I'm not sure where it's from. Maybe it's the Hemshech of Yeshayahu Anovi. Lavo b'nikrat ha-tsurim. When God appears and he reveals himself, man hides in the caverns, in the ground, b'sifei ha-lim, in the hallows, in the stones, mitnei pachad Hashem, because of the fear of God. Umei hadar ge'ono b'kumo la'arot ha'aretz. Elokim ha-mit'artel mitoch ha-yitpadlut Hagmugak Mistorim Nora. God who reveals himself from the isolation, the total absolute isolation of the awesome, mysterious God. Here the Rav adds the Latin and English. He says, Mysterium Tremendium of God. Malach Emim Al Yitzur Nivra. And here the Rav quotes the Rambam at the beginning of Mishnah Torah. Perik Beis Yisodei Torah, Yitzur Nivzeh, man is a small creature, Dirya Shfeila, Afeila, he's a dark and humble creature, Omedet Bidat Muata, he has a very small capacity for intellect, Lifnei, if you compare him, Tmim Deim, to the perfect, all-knowledgeable God, Briap Putazu, Borachat Mitoch Yush Kamur. This little creature runs away out of despair. He's afraid of the judgment of God. And now we're on page 24.
Is it 30? You just elaborate a little bit more. How exactly is the running from God in itself a spiritual act, like towards God?
Because God wants not only love, he also wants fear. There's Ava and there's Yira. Yira is going to bring man to fulfill God's will, and the Rav in the next few chapters is going to emphasize that man cannot be left to his own natural yearning for Almighty God. Because at that level of natural consciousness, there is no structure. There is no objective law. So we'll see how the story unfolds. But fear really brings man to a commitment, what we would call Kabbalah Sol Malchus
Shemayim. It's not running from God per se, it's running from the things which take him away, running from, you know, his will, which defines
the fear of God's judgment, is going to bring him to absolute subjugation to God. He has no choice, man. He's in a situation where the power of God is so intense, you know, the fire is so profound, that he'll get swallowed up if he doesn't shape up, as we say, if he doesn't commit himself to the law. So it's that element in the human relationship with God that brings man to subjugate himself. And that's what the Toda'ah Giluyit is all about, this revelational consciousness, is that God reveals himself, man is subjugated, and he receives the law. That's the Kaf Aleihem Harki Gigis. That's the Kol Nisu Brachim that we spoke about a week or two ago. And now we get to chapter, I don't know, here in the Hebrew it's chapter 9, and in the English I think it's chapter 7, they break it up a little bit differently. Here's man who's being ripped apart in two different directions. You know, one dimension of man, one part of man's personality runs and yearns to God. That's the Ava relationship of midas achesed, of seeing God as the Father. The other part of man runs away from God, flees from God. There's an antithetical relationship, an antithetical experience. And yet, says the Rav, the halacha accepted and ordained this antithetical relationship. Gam ha-bitachon, on the one hand, relying upon God, as man does through midas harachamim, he's absolutely secure because God is a loving Father. Gam ha-pachad, but also man's fear of absolute justice and judgment, nechutzim, are both required l'todat hadat, for the religious consciousness. Nisiat ayin elokim mitoch tzipia l'schar, even if man raises his eyes to God, meaning he depends upon God because he wants to be rewarded, and that would be an avoda mi'yira, out of fear of God, and he hopes that God will reward him if he accepts and commits himself to the law of God. Ksherai, the halacha accepts that. No, don't think for one moment that the halacha only accepts avodah l'shem shamayim, out of yira, without any intent to receive reward. In order to create a full religious consciousness, we need the mora of God, the fear of God. Amar Rav Hoseinu, here he quotes the Gemara Psachim on Daf Nun, Li olam yasok oda v'torah mitzvah shalol lishma, shemitok shalol lishma bol lishma. So there is an acceptance and an affirmation, even a recommendation, to worship God if need be, shalom lishma, meaning out of a fear of punishment. Or, for example, the Medrash in Dvarim says, avod miyira, serve God out of a sense of fear, shim basa livo, because if you want to rebel, ain't your a boy, somebody who's afraid will not rebel. And on the flip side, in mitzvahs, the Gemara Pesachim in the first parak on Daf Ches, I don't know if you got to this yet, selazu l'tzdok al menashe yichya b'ni, hareze tzadik gamur. The fact that he has external motivations which move him to give tzedakah, in this case he wants his son to be well, that doesn't in any way disqualify his mitzvah tzedakah. He's still considered a tzadik gamur. Did you get to this Gemara yet? You were on Daf Yudbezer. Where are you? Okay. Todat achrayut hagiluyit kvusha betodat haonesh shel hachet. He says the consciousness or the awareness of an absolute commitment to the revelation inheres in the consciousness or the awareness of the punishment for sin. Ein bein pachad elokim bein pachad haonesh ela hevdel miluli bilvad. The Rav identifies the fear of God with the fear of punishment. Mitzvot tzrichot kavana, v'kavana merukezet bakara, hakarat ha'echrech v'kiyum ratzon elyon. What does it mean when we say mitzvot tzrichot kavana? It means that I am doing this because I understand that I have to do it, out of a sense of being forced, of being enforced, and to fulfill the divine will. It doesn't mean that when a person has kavana for a mitzvah, he loves God and he wishes to achieve the mitzvah. You know, it's kef, it's simcha, it's something that he loves. That's not the level of lishma, of kavana l'shem mitzvah. L'shem mitzvah means because of God who revealed himself to man and gave him this command. And now the Rav asks permission to add a few things. He says, Ein ha'uvda ki ha'chavaya antitetit shel ahava u'pachad shel chefetz v'ritza Elokim v'chetz bricha mimen mushreshet b'karka biologi tiv'i matzav adam kitzur psychosometri psychosumtri mafchita me'erka v'chashivuta. Don't think that the fact that man in his natural biological psychosomatic state as he was, you know, born as a physical being has these two dimensions. He's both, you know, antithetically, he's both an ohev and a mafached. He wants to run towards God and run away from God. And all this is how do you say, mushrash? It's rooted in the biological natural man, that does in no way diminishes its significance. You know, we might think that, oh, these two polar extremes that pull man in different directions, they come from his biological nature. You know, on the one hand, he wants to break out of the tyranny of natural life and reach transcendentalism. You know, that comes from his biological element. And on the other hand, he's afraid of punishment, which is also biological and natural. Man wants to live and not die. So we might attribute that to a lower echelon. Says the Rav, that's wrong. That's not the true, genuine halachic approach. On the contrary, he says, Halacha tamid tipla b'kiyumo hamamashi shel adam. The halacha never stopped dealing and addressing the physical existence of man. Kavla oto, she restrained man, b'todat schar v'onesh. The halacha wants man to have an awareness of punishment and reward. That's part of being a person who's dedicated to observe the halacha. V'lo ra'ata shum hefseid b'ratzon ha'adam l'tkayem b'muvan fizi biologi. There's nothing disqualified about man's will to exist in the physical, biological sense. Lenot mikiyumo, to enjoy the benefits of existence. Hana'a gvura, a total pleasure. Ushtakrer min machovei guf v'nefesh, and to be free of any physical or mental pain. L'shem zeh, but in order to achieve that goal, kavla oto, the halacha restrained man, v'avtachat schar v'onesh, by warning him that he'll be punished if he doesn't observe the law, and he'll be rewarded if he does. V'natna l'fanav bracha u'klala, right? Ha'bracha, al ha'grizim, right? A man is called upon to choose bracha, v'bacharta b'chayim, choose life. Bracha is identified with the good in physical, natural life. Haklala, on the other hand, that which God wants you to stay away from, he shilton hara shebahem, evil that reigns in the world. Kedei l'shabedet adam l'tzav giluyi al tivi, he mafchida v'gam argiya et adam ativi. The ultimate goal of bringing man to subjugate himself to the divine will and the divine command, as it's revealed, is that revelation inspires fear in man, instills fear in man, but at the same time, it calms man down. Man is a natural being, relies and trusts upon God. He has bitachon. He knows that God has promised him the good life if he observes the law. All this, which may seem to exist on a lower level in the spiritual chain, nevertheless, it's valid, and it's exactly the way the system has to operate. Now here you start a new paragraph. Gam gdolei ha'umah, even the greats of our nation, chayu et piltzot ha'onesh b'chol mora'ah. Even the greats of our people experienced the tremendous fear, the hara of the fear, or the terror, I should say, of the fear of punishment. And here he quotes the famous Gemara in Brochos, Adaf Chav Ches Amid Beis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Bochel Lefnei Misoso, before his death he was crying, and his Talmidim came around and asked him, why are you crying? And his response was that he's afraid of the Melech Malchi Amlochim, the King of Kings, who Chai V'Kayim Lo Envoyed, the Kaso Kas Olam, V'Yisura V'Yisurei Olam. I'm not afraid of human judges, I'm afraid of God as a judge. Pachad zem mechalchel b'chol tokfo b'bnei aliyah. This intense fear pervades in its full power exalted people who try to get higher and higher and ascend the spiritual ladder. Shehigyu l'dargat shleimut elyona, and they've achieved perfect levels and high levels in their relationship with God. V'shibdu, what's the next word? Ech?
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake. It doesn't make sense to say v'shivdu et bora'om. I think it should say v'shivdu et atzmam libora'om, or shivdu libora'om. Mipchina niskava ma'od. Their shivu, their commitment to their creator is on a very sublime level. Hapachad v'gama bitakon, both fear and reliance upon God. Excuse me. Heim ha'reka l'chayei adat. This is the background for the life, the religious life. Bil adam, and without them, without both of them, kol inyan datiyut lo yachol l'tkayei. The religion cannot exist. Lo l'chinam igdir arama b'sefer mitzvot. This is the fourth mitzvah in mitzvah say. Et mitzvat ha'yir'ah k'yir'at ha'onesh. The fear that God commands us to fear, it's one of the Taryag mitzvahs, is the fear of punishment. Amarnu li'el ki alacha kav'am mitzvah miyuchedet shel tshuva mitok tzara. The whole concept of experiencing suffering is built in and generates the mitzvah of tshuva. As the Torah says at the beginning of the Sefer Dvar, batzar lecha v'shavta. When you're in a tzara situation, you should return to God. Or in Parshas Paloscha and Bamidbar Yud, it says, "V'chisavo milchama v'yartzachem v'ariosim v'chatzotzus v'oshantem v'noshatem me'ayvechem." If the enemy is surrounding you in this siege, threatening to attack you, then you blow the chatzotzos and you fast, za'aka and tshuva and tefila and tshuva. Is most important. Kol davar shemitzer et adam, anything that causes man suffering, mechayvo b'tshuva, obligates man to do tshuva. Kol mitzvah ta'anit, all the mitzvot that are included on the fasting could go to inui, tkiat chatzotzot, zaka. I would have added kriyas haTorah also with tzibur. Mahavim pirtei mitzvah merkazit. These are all details of one central mitzvah. It's like the hub. And then there are spikes that come out of the hub. What are they called?
Spokes.
Spokes that come out of the hub. The hub is tshuva. That's at the essence, at the center. Tshuva mitok tzara. Sheinita midat hadin al adam. When a tzara descends and reflects the judgment of God on man, his response must be this mitzvah, the central mitzvah of tshuva. Shuv, again, ha'pachet bokeh v'oleh mitof ma'amakeh ha'tivi'ut v'achimiyut shel v'adam. In all these situations of tzara, it's the fear of punishment and of pain and anguish which breaks through the depths of man as a natural being, meaning an animal is also afraid of any sort of danger, as we saw before. It's absolutely natural that from the depths of man he aspires to existence, to physical life. It's amazing, he says, how this fear brings man to rise and achieve levels of the man of spirit and vision. And here he quotes Ibn Gviro from Keser Malchus. And that was a curveball, I didn't expect this. In Tivakesh Leonati Evrach Mimcha Elecha Vet Kasem Michamatcha Mitzilcha. Wow, look at that language. Evrach Mimcha Elecha. I will run away from you to you. That's really an interesting poem. Now we're on page 25. Shtei gishot elu hativit bat hachereg lalokim vagiluyit bat hapachad v'harta'ah. These two approaches, the natural approach of yearning towards God and the revelational approach of fear and withdrawal from God, afal pi shetchilatam ne'utzah. What they begin with is tchum ha-chavaya datit ha-monsionalit, even though they begin with the religious experience as an emotional experience, ha-rechoka mikol motivim musariyim ma'asiyim, it's very far removed from moral and ethical practical motifs. Mishtakefete, nevertheless, although they begin in that emotional religious experience, they are reflected b'sofan at the end, be'emdamu sarit hashimushit, in the practical moral realm shel ish elokim, the man of God. And this is very important. The Rav emphasized this over and over again in all of his writings. He had it in Ish Halakha, he had it in Ish Emunah, in his lectures, he always emphasized that the goal of Halakha is the moral realm. Emdat ha-mevakesha t'elokim mitok gaguim l'cheirut ruchanit k'mura shona legamri mi'emdat ha-nirta l'chorav kishemitgale elokim elav. You should be very careful, says the Rav, to understand the contrast between, on the one hand, a person who seeks out God because of yearning for freedom, for spiritual freedom, as opposed to the perspective of someone who recoils out of the fear of the God that reveals to him. Ish hadat hachatzui l'shtei rishiyot alul lavo lidei achlata kitzonit. If the religious man is torn between these two domains, he's liable to come to a very extreme decision. He may prefer one of these two approaches. And therefore, lefamim, sometimes, chavayada tita spontanit, the natural spontaneous religious experience, machriata kaf, she becomes primary. Umasita hatzida, she pushes aside et regesh ha'echreach, the feeling of commitment, of subjugation, of I gotta fulfill the will and the command of God. Ha'echreach ha'dati ha'muchlat v'ashibur ha'gilui. Now what happens when man emphasizes only the religious experience of the natural sort? He wants emotionally to yearn for God and break away from this world. He doesn't feel the commitment and the fear of revelation. And that's what the Rav is going to describe from here until the top of page 26. He says, "Bekesher misyono latzeit l'cheibut me'umas me'omes hachok ha'giluyi," because he tries as much as he can to break away from the omes, because he wants freedom. He doesn't want omes. He doesn't want the weight of responsibility of chok, of law. Chaviyato adatit loveshet tzura ruchanit contemplivit tohokah. In other words, now his religious experience expresses itself in something that's contemplative, it's spiritual, it's cognitive. It's something that he decides. He says, "Hatafkid shimushi yishur maaseh adam alei adamot v'atalat magut chodanit alav shetamod kitris b'fnei atkafat hatavod ruchaniot yitzarim choshekim v'yim mishtameit min hachavaya datit." What gets lost now? What gets pushed aside underneath the ground, so to speak, is the need to create barriers for man. He calls them tris. A tris is like a protective shield. And once you drop these shields in the desire for total freedom, then there's no practical yishur, milashon yashar, you know, straightening out the actions of man on this world. He's not afraid of anything. He just wants freedom. There's nothing to restrain his inclinations, which are very powerful forces within him. And these are evil forces. You know, the Rav very rarely addresses this part. I notice this so often, that the Rav almost constantly omits or skirts the question of how man should deal with his Yetzirah. You know, the Yetzirah is not big in his philosophy. You'll find that in the Musa, in the Bali Musa. But here is one point in which he brings up this point about the intense desires that pull man, tavot, rotchot means the hot passions, and they are bringing man towards evil. And all of a sudden, those blockages that would put man in a restraining atmosphere are all removed. אם היסוד הציווי הגאוי הטובה בן אדם אופן חיים מסוים והמופיע בדמות משגיח ומפקד מוסרי דתי שוקע, the keyword is שוקע here, if the religious consciousness of revelation, which demands of man a certain specific lifestyle and expresses itself in an image of supervision over man, of an officer who demands of man a certain specific type of ethical religious lifestyle, if that's shokeah, if that goes down the tubes, as batel kochashal adak, religion is totally meaningless, totally powerless. Tzimtzum chavayat v'nisayon adak, v'mizgeret chavaya v'nisayon ruchaniyim, if man decides to limit his religious experience to just a spiritual experience, goreim l'siluk hodav hashpata, it will completely undermine the splendor and the impact of religion. B'tnayim ka'elu, under these conditions, nasei tadat l'srach ha'odev shal ha'tarbut. Now religion is nothing more than adding on one level of culture. Tokef hagzerah datit pochet bolech. The power of the divine decree and command wanes away. Vanarchia haishit, and personal anarchy matchilal yenetzeitz. This is what emerges. Total personal anarchy. Nidmelo ladama matzav zekilu hu avia mitzvah. He appoints himself as the father of the command. Kilu hu koveya. It's he who will determine magavata, its purpose, v'tachlita, and its goal. So now religion becomes silly putty, so to speak. It's kechomer biyada yotzer in the hands of this so-called religious man. Nidmelo ki gam nisuach hachok, gam kiyumo mesurim l'shuto adam. He fools himself into thinking that the formulation of the law and its existence and anything that's ethical is completely given over to his domain. Man will control. Man becomes autonomous. He writes the law books. L'fichach u'notel reshut l'vchar b'chok zeh. He takes upon himself the permission to choose this law. U'lim os b'chok acher, but to reject another law. In motzeu botam shunenemi menu zdakekiwav. If the law attracts him, if there's a certain element of meaningfulness from his perspective, it fulfills a certain desire of his, then he'll take it. But it doesn't boedu bo, so he rejects it. Keilu, he thinks, hakol bamini atzirach of shit enoshit. Every law is binding because it's a creation of the free of man's freedom. Vakol shav eleh, and everything depends upon freedom of man. So fashal chirutzu, the end of such freedom is anarchia musarit, total ethical anarchy. Ha'adam shigia lidei akarat alukim rak mitoch todato ha'ishit ha'pnimit. If man comes to the knowledge of God only from the awareness of something within him, from within man, which is the natural part of religious consciousness, V'lo hirgish, he doesn't feel, but tzevet is like a pincher, ha'ones, the duress, ha'giluyi, of revelation, ha'machricho l'stagel l'chok u'mishpat, that forces him to adapt to statutes and laws, shu'utlu alav mirshut el yonam uvdelet, that were imposed upon him from a higher domain, a separate domain. If he thinks everything comes from within him, because that's his yearning and his natural religious consciousness, ultimately he will bring disgrace in the public. This is a tragedy of modern man. instead of being willing to accept subjugation to the divine law, Minasehu Mater Man tries l'shabed et elokav l'tzar chava yom yomi, to subjugate God to his man's daily needs, u'mimui tavot hagasot, tavotav hagasot, and to fulfill his gross desires. Sav dati hamit paretz bekoach etanim hu yisod hadatit habyektivit. The foundation of objective religion is the existence of a power, of a force, meaning of the divine being, who gives man a religious command. V'chala kofer bo, and he who denies that, or rejects that, oset hadat flaster, he turns religion to a fraud. Ein tzorech bafulogitia sheshorsha b'tasbich nechitut kidei lagein al musag hachok shebalacha. We don't need any apologetics, he says, which are rooted in an inferiority complex in order to defend the concept of law in halacha. And here he reflects on the founder of Christianity, the New Testament, Kol divrei Shaul mitarshish, that's Paul, al hachok, and he refers to law as kimakor hachet, as the source of sin, einam ele hevel urusruach, he uses the terminology of Kohelet. Alula dat philosophic sechlit, and it's very likely that such a philosophical religion, which is purely based on intellect, ashukat hamivchan, which is completely devoid of trials and tribulations, fatzav hagiluyim, and the revelational commands, lim'ol mal b'kidusha, will violate the sanctity of the religion itself, b'farhesia, in public, tachat hashpato, by rejecting the influence of the religion, the ethical social law, shenitma v'nistayim, which now becomes defiled and corrupt. Datiyut neteret element objektivi giluyi, a religion that's completely lacking any sort of objective revelation, element of objective revelation, amachayevet adam lamaasim ulapulot, which would obligate man to certain actions, einai chula lechvosh et hachaya shev adam, will not be able to subjugate the animal in man. Hamunah subjectivity, subjective faith, netulat tzav v'chok, that's completely devoid of law and divine imperative, shaleh diberoto Shaul, that same Paul spoke about in his writings, afim titchapes b'levush avat elokim, even if we'll disguise itself in the, you know, dress itself up in love of God, you know, that's all the New Testament's about, love of God, you know, he loves you and so forth, he with a small age. V'adam eino, eina, akim v'adam, love of God and man, whoa.
I'd love to hear what's going on. I don't know who's the principal anymore. I got so confused.
Neither do I.
Maybe I'm talking to him. That job you don't want, almost. Okay.
He says the following, that any religion as presented by Paul, it, despite the fact that it dresses itself up in terms like love of God, love of man, it will not last. Why? Because it has no tzav. It has no imperative. There's no revelation. Lasot basim tovim. Ulukayem, moving on to page 26, mitzvot mesuyamot. There are no specific objective and eternal absolute commands or imperatives. Asher lo tamid motzim chen b'nei ha-seichel v'tarbut. You know, if the religious law doesn't find favor in the eyes of our intellect and our culture, then we reject it. And we write our own books of what's right and what's wrong. And I think I mentioned this line to you that's coming up in the past. Hashoah no ra'ah shel milchemet olam hashniyah tochiach, the horrible Holocaust of the Second World War will prove kol elam davrim al ahava, all those who speak about love, all these, you know, the New Testament holders, we're going to finish up with this last line, amdu v'shatku, they stood by idly and they said nothing, v'lo michu, they didn't even lift, you know, express a word of protest. Harbeveihem gam hishtatfut, hishtatfu bashmadach milyonei bnei adam. There were even those who actively participated in the extermination of millions of people. In this context, the Rav, as an individual who was so close to that horrible period of Jewish history and world history of the Holocaust of the Germans, he uses that terrible incident, that terrible period of time, and the extermination of millions of human beings as a proof that Christianity has lost its hold on man, because the practical moral imperative is completely subjective in nature. The faith is subjective. So we're talking about a religion which is really a farce if it lacks commands and laws. And those commands that are rational, which are commands that man feels he can benefit from, so he clings to them. But if he has laws that, in a sense, incarcerate and inhibit his creativity and his freedom, then he rejects those laws. So basically what happens is that law becomes meaningless, religion becomes subjective, and we end up with the beast in man that comes forward and expresses itself outwardly. And the Rav speaks about Western philosophy as a philosophical school that emerged from both the Greek philosophers and the Christian religion. And what they end up with in this combination is lots of love for spiritual and higher realms, but they make statements that are completely hollow in the sense that rejects the concept of fear and terror, because there's no understanding in Western philosophy, in Western metaphysical religious philosophy, no appreciation, no understanding of the essence of fear. Fear is totally antithetical. And therefore, it has brought chaos into the world. If there's no fear of punishment, you end up with chaos. And this is what the Rav is going to call Satan. Satan is going to, Satan himself is going to take control over Western religious philosophy. There'll be forces of destruction that completely overcome man's religious consciousness and defile it. And Baruch Hashem, the Rav says that this Hashgacha Pratit, this supreme divine providence that prevents converting the world to Tohu Vavohu. And we came pretty close to it, says the Rav, at the time of World War II. Once again, God has to reveal himself in order to prevent the world from returning to primordial chaos. That's the experience of revelation, which saves the world from spiritual and physical annihilation. But again, we're not saying that God doesn't want man to be a natural creature with a natural consciousness that'll come to worship God. Man must worship God out of the feeling of yearning for God, but at the same time, he's got to feel the absolute decree, the coercion. There's got to be not only spontaneous desire and aspiration to reach God, the glad in the heart, but this also has to be a certain dread and fear of God. On the one hand, in Tehillim, we find
that we have to serve God with joy, Yivdus Hashem b'simcha. But on the other hand, there's ra'ada as well. So there's got to be a sense of longing and yearning, enjoyment and happiness, a desire for spiritual pleasure and delight on the one hand, and a fear of punishment, an awareness of God as the God of judgment, of the God of revelation on the other hand. And that's why the Rav points out that both of these approaches, the natural one with the yearning for God and the revelational with fear and withdrawal, both are integrated and approved as antithetical as they seem to create this overall perfect religious consciousness. One without the other will not suffice. When man goes to one extreme or the other, he ends up in failure. Either he ultimately reduces religion to naught, or he lives in a total state of fear, without joy, without happiness, without longing and yearning. And therefore the balance of the two, even though they seem antithetical, but the av on the one hand and the yir on the other hand, must be integrated to create one whole, complete religious experience. All right, we'll stop here.